This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
So what started out as a funny idea for ABC TV's Gruen program to create a fake advert to get seniors picking fruit, well, Bronwyn O'Shea, it may now get used for an actual campaign because there is a real call now to get seniors out of retirement and onto orchards. So, Bron, this is the fake pitch from Gruen.
You know who you are. You're the generation who always turned up, who never turned away when you were needed, who picked fights for justice, picked your way through tough times, and picked up our kids. Now more than ever, Australia needs people like you to pick something else. Fruit. Because too much of our fruit is rotting on the ground, sending up prices and putting growers to the wall. You'll choose when and where you work, in beautiful locations, and pick up some great memories along the way, with someone else picking up the tab. Go fruitpicking.com.au or pick up the phone.
You might have picked up the message there, Rochelle Hunt. So encouraging our seniors to get out there and pick some fruit. But, you know, we've heard this before, haven't we? From nursing to teaching, now it's fruit picking. We've got all of these workforce shortages. Why are we expecting the seniors to come out of retirement and fill those jobs?
And we know from nursing in particular, it's not that simple. There is so much red tape around coming out of retirement, whether or not, you know, you need to get your qualifications back up to a certain level. You've got to relocate, you need accommodation. There's all of those things that come into it. But what I find interesting about this particular pitch to get seniors out of retirement picking fruit is that there's this assumption that you will just leave your life, okay, that you've got nothing better to do and you can go to regional Victoria or you can move across the state and pick fruit because what else are you doing? You know, it sort of has this tone about it, like, wow, what else are you doing?
And also, you know, we've ignored you up until now, but suddenly we're in a crisis. So, hello, knock on the door, can you come and help out? You know, is there that sort of, now when it's convenient? We notice you.
Well, the National Farmers Federation said it would be a huge nationwide benefit and they're encouraging seniors to jump in their campers and their caravans and earn cash from picking fruit from some of those smaller farms that don't have access to labour schemes. So there's also that assumption that you have an RV or that you have a caravan. And if you don't, then we know there's a huge housing shortage, a housing crisis across many parts of regional Victoria. And are you expected to live on site? But then there's also being away from your grandkids as well. So I just wonder whether coming out of retirement to fill these jobs is as simple as a lot of those in power, you know, make it out to be.
Well, it could be an amazing solution. It could be a great opportunity for a lot of people. It could be a real win-win. It could be something fantastic that brings in more money for people who want it in their 60s, 70s, 80s. It could be a great solution for the employer too. But is it that simple? Groups like National Seniors, Rochelle, are arguing it will only work if the pension rules are changed so that people can keep their pension, not be penalised if they're bringing in income as well on the side.
And those that are saying, yes, I'll do it, is it because the pension is just simply not enough to live on at the moment? And is that a whole other issue that needs to be addressed? So what do you think? Are we just seeing the negative in this? Is there some really great positives and some wins either for you coming out of retirement or for the profession or industry that you work in? Would you come out of retirement and pick fruit or just go back into one of those job markets where there are so many vacancies at the moment?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This is The Conversation Hour.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Well, we need you more than ever, pretty much. It's the feeling at the moment. We need you to teach, to nurse and to pick fruit. We want you to come out of retirement. And is that benefit there? Is it worthwhile?
Hello, Pam. Welcome to The Conversation Hour.
Hello, Bronwyn and Michelle. Gee, you have some good subjects. I, you know, I'm often busy, but I always listen to you. What I wanted to say was, years ago, aged pensioners would go up the country and pick fruit because they were allowed to spread their earnings over the 12 months. Mm-hmm. And then it was deducted from their pension. But then Centrelink changed the rules. Centrelink changed the rules and they made it whatever you earned that particular week, they took it off your pension. So mm-hmm. that made all the difference between people going up the country and working for, say, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and then spreading that amount of money that they'd earned over the next 12 months, and then they didn't get anything deducted from the pension. Otherwise, it was really quite difficult to manage if you were only on a pension.
Yeah, and I think that's been the problem forever, Pam, isn't it? That the pension is really, really hard to live on. You know, you have to be organised and frugal, and you got to work your freezer like nobody business in order to be able to eat
exactly.
and survive.
Why can't we have some change like in the UK? Everyone gets a pension from the millionaire down to whoever, the lowliest worker. Why couldn't they let people keep their pension but then be taxed on whatever they
yes.
earned on top of it?
And that's what a lot of...
much easier for people... Well, it would be easier for the government, for our civil, you know, for our servants, civil servants. It would be so easy to manage. Instead of that, we've got all this red tape to stop us from earning
and there does
even
seem
a minimal
to be,
amount.
Pam, bipartisan interest in doing exactly what you're saying there, changing those rules. That's what we're talking about this morning. What would it take to actually harness that untapped potential of over 65s in the workforce and perhaps fill some of these gaps? Paul's in Sale. G'day, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What do you think of this idea?
I think it's a minefield.
Mm,
yes, they need to look at the pension rules and just totally throw them out the window. If you're getting the pension and you've worked, you've paid your taxes. You shouldn't be penalised. Also, there's going to be this problem of, you're getting people coming out of retirement. What pre-existing injuries have they had? Are they going to be covered by workers' comp, et cetera,
yes.
et cetera, et cetera? It's an absolute minefield.
It is. You're bang on there, Paul. Insurance is a really big problem here. And we've heard from people when we just vaguely touched on this on other programs saying, look, I tried, but I couldn't get insured. Cannot keep up with the texts on this. Here's just a few, Bron. Sorry, but if I retire, I want to retire. I don't want to go back to work. Another saying, I think seniors picking fruit is a great idea. There are so many grey nomads travelling around Australia. You just got to look at caravan sales as an indicator. So it would be a fantastic way to travel and work at the same time, says Mark in Geelong. But another saying, there's an assumption that retirees are all grey nomads and equipped with mobile accommodation mm-hmm. and are on the move. That's from Georgie. And I'm kind of with Georgie on this. It takes a lot of money and you've got to be super fit and healthy, and it takes a lot of planning to be a grey nomad and to be travelling around. And you've probably worked your butt off, right, your entire life to get into that situation. Why would you want to work along the way to do that?
Love to hear from you. If you think this is a terrific idea, if you are prepared and ready to, whether it be pick fruit or do some other job that is going unfilled at the moment. Jennifer Warner knows exactly what that's like, Rochelle, doesn't she? She came out of retirement. She's a nurse to help during COVID. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hello.
What are you thinking of this idea, Jennifer? I mean, you've come out of retirement. How simple was it for you to be able to get back into the workforce?
It was really around the sort of modules of education you had to do around the immunisation and the swabbing. So there was quite a bit of extra education that I had to undertake. And I wasn't that long out of the workforce, so it was relatively straightforward. I was still registered. But there was quite a bit of education around it, whereas that wouldn't apply here, I'd have to say.
Jennifer, did you go back because of the exceptional circumstances of COVID, because you felt compelled to help, or did you do it for another reason?
No, I do, because I'd actually retired 2 years ago now as an operating theatre manager mm-hmm. and was happy to, you know, just sort of cool my life down a bit. But, yes, there was such a desperate need for nurses to go back to help out with the immunisations and the swabbing. Mm-hmm. And from my point of view, friends who are still in the business but desperately short of staff in theatre but everywhere else. And so my idea was that if I went back to help at that level, that would free up some of the acute nurses to get back to the areas they needed to be working in.
And I wonder too, there's that immediate reaction and help that you've provided, Jennifer, because the entire world was in a state where we all felt like, what can I do? How can I help? But as we start to normalise, as we start to live with COVID, and now it's not about we need you in this immediate moment to help with a pandemic, but we need you to pick fruit, or, you know, the teachers' shortage is ongoing as well, do you feel like this is just throwing a band-aid on a lot of professions rather than looking at the bigger issue of how to fill these jobs and just asking older Victorians to come in and fix it?
I think it is a bit of that. Look, historically, these needs have not been addressed. We know that certainly both in teaching and nursing, there's been a shortage that's been coming, and it's becoming greater and greater. It's certainly exacerbated by not having overseas workers, but it simply hasn't been addressed in the numbers we need. I have had a number of friends who've said, oh, you're going to go and work in aged care now. And I go, no, that's not where I work. I work in theatre. But also, at 71, I'd be the same age as people in these nursing care. And it's also a very hard physical job, which is the same as the fruit picking. You've got to think of the physical ability of people of my age and older. I mean, I've got some friends who are extremely fit and well into their 80s, but it's a different matter when someone's relying on you to stay upright and not to fall off a ladder. The greatest thing of the fruit picking, I think the first thing is people on ladders in emergency departments.
And doing it day after day as well. It's one thing to do something physically active every now and then, but Jennifer, now that you have gone back to work, are you interested, you may not want to go into aged care, but are you interested in remaining in the workforce for longer now?
I had always intended to do some part-time work. I didn't think that just because you were a certain age that it was a good idea to finish work. So I was always open to offers of something else. I just wanted to get out of my management role, to be honest. I was happy to be just a worker bee, and that's still true. But I am on the aged pension, and it's $980 or so a fortnight, and it cuts at $480 a fortnight, you start to lose 50 cents in the dollar. So, you know, that's not a lot of money to live on. If you're looking at travelling to do any of these jobs that involve travel.
And when we look at the cost of living now as well,
exactly.
And I wonder how many people will actually maybe take this up, not because they necessarily want to go fruit picking or want to, you know, get back into the nursing profession, but because they simply can't live on the pension. Jennifer, thank you so much. And thank you too for doing an incredible bit during COVID and getting back in there and helping with the professional skills that you have.
We all did what we can.
Good on you. Jennifer Warner, thank you. The National Senior Spokesperson, Craig Feldman-Bron, on this, they actually did a survey. So they surveyed about 3,000 people, of their members, to say, you know, do you think this is a good idea? Would you go and pick fruit? Would you go back into the workforce? And of those 3,000 people, 20% said yes. But the reason why they said yes is because they need the money, so that the pension's not exactly a good way of getting through with cost of living crisis now with higher petrol and higher grocery prices. So even though 20% of people saying yes is a high number, the reason as to why they're saying yes actually just raises more questions, doesn't it?
It just reflects on the pension, doesn't it, rather than anything else. Paul's in Keith in South Australia. Welcome, Paul.
Morning. New Zealand changed the law several years ago. I mean, I can't think of his first name. My name Hensky. He actually used to be in the ABC in Adelaide, and he's now president of the Pensioners Association.
We're about to speak to him a little later in the program, in fact.
Well, he knows all about the New Zealand law. And I come from originally from the Riverland of South Australia, and I'm 69 now, and I run my own business. I can't get income protection at 65, and I'll be surprised if people can get work cover at 65. But you'll find that in the Riverland of both Victoria and South Australia, so like from Robin Vale all the way through to Berry and Barmer in South Australia, there are pensioners working for cash picking fruit and have been. I mean, I grew up there, so there were, even when I was a child, there were pensioners coming out and working. But they were working on a contract, so they only got paid by what they picked, but they were quite happy to do that. I mean, I could, when I was younger, I could make twice the average wage picking contract.
Mm. It's just that idea, though, of whether fruit picking is the right thing to be asking seniors to do. It's a short-term fix. And if it's, if the reason why they're doing it is because the pension's not enough, then do we need to look, you know, at the pension as well? Let's have a chat to Chris, who's in Mansfield. G'day, Chris.
G'day, how are you?
Good, what do you think?
So, two comments. One, I want to put a different view to, because everybody, most people are ringing in and saying, here's why it won't work, here's what, you know, what you've got to do. Have a look at Blaze Aid. Have a look at the kilometres of fencing that Blaze Aid has made, most of the time with a combination of either backpackers or elderly people with caravans.
Chris, it's, I thought the same thing. Yeah, right? And I also thought, I wonder what impact, if you send people back into the workforce, what impact it has on organisations like Blaze Aid. Do they lose a whole lot of that man and woman power that they've had?
Well, maybe they do, but Blaze Aid to me is an indication of why, you know, people can go fruit picking at a senior age. You know, lots of people have vans. The Blaze Aid experience shows that people will go and do good quality work, maybe not at the same speed as a 30 or 40 year old, but it can work. And I think, you know, you look at where it has worked and you say, how do we take it from there?
Is there not a difference, though, between something like Blaze Aid or going and volunteering when Victoria is in a time of crisis and trauma? You know, Blaze Aid are there for when people have experienced bushfires or something traumatic has happened to the community. So they're thinking, what can I do to help? You know, I'll throw my hat into the ring and I'll give up 2 or 3 months of my life, versus a job skills shortage that has been around for a very, very long time, like fruit picking.
Again, you go back to the previous caller who talked about the fact that there were pensioners who are picking for cash. I think you provide an option for people. This is not a highly skilled job, and I don't want to insult people who pick, but it's, if you make it available for people, I'm pretty certain you'll find people will pick it up.
Okay.
Maybe only for 3 or 4 weeks at a time, maybe not for the full 3 months, but surely one person picking fruit is better than no person picking fruit.
It's a good point, Chris. Kate's in Ballarat. Kate, you're a pensioner and you are willing to work. Would you go fruit picking?
Yeah, I just wanted to... the problem is, just to explain my situation, my partner's an aged pensioner. I'm a carer pensioner for my mum at the moment, and I have a small part-time job. Now, when I'm a bit confused with this, because we do everything to the, you know, to the point where if I earn more than $320 a fortnight, both Graham's pension and my pension get we pay 25 cents in the dollar. Then I get taxed at work. That's on gross wage for my wage. Then I get taxed. I do an income tax. And then all of a sudden I'm listening to people getting paid cash for picking fruit, which is great. I know the farmers, and they all need people to pick fruit. But if I got a cash job, it's like, wow, where do I go with my pension?
And this is something, Kate, we were talking off air about too, is to say, okay, well, if we can change the pension and if we can look at some of the tax implications for something like fruit picking, why couldn't we then broaden it out to say, okay, so if an aged pensioner like Kate wants to work part-time in retail or in hospitality, how can we maybe look at subsidising or letting people get back into the workforce in some way without it affecting their pension? So does it go beyond fruit picking?
And also beyond the age pension, Kate, that's your point too, isn't it? You're on a carer's pension, so it has an impact on you. We're going to speak to Ian Henschke from National Seniors really soon, and he has a lot of ideas on how we can reform the system that we have to make this more doable. Yeah.
So would you come out of retirement? Would you fill one of the many gaps within our jobs market at the moment? Was it worth it? And what would entice you to go back to work?
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Rochelle Hunt with you in Melbourne, Bronwyn O'Shea with you in ABC Wodonga. So many texts on this, Bron.
What are people saying?
Short of pickers, baggage handlers, aged care workers, pay more, simple demand and supply, says Frank. And this is not just fruit picking, it's also the tourism industry, desperately short of staff. I've just retired from the industry, but I'm considering returning casually in the future. You do need to be uber fit to be able to check people in and out of caravan parks, pull a beer in an outback pub, all of those things, says Rosemary. But other ideas being thrown around, so saying, what about school camps? Maybe that would be a great experience as well. So the idea of seniors just tacking this on to their grey nomad lifestyle and going and picking fruit, is it as simple and as win-win as many people would make it out to be?
Peter Hall is a fruit grower in Maroopna. Welcome, Peter.
G'day. How you going?
Good. Can this idea work?
Yeah, well, it's always worked. I mean, I grew up on an orchard and my dad's farm, and we had an eclectic bunch of people ranging from school kids to season workers, backpackers and grey nomads. A lot of pensioners have picked fruit on our properties over the years.
Mm. So how do we get more people doing it then, do you think? Can changing the way that we tax the pension or reduce the pension get more older people into that role, do you think?
Yeah, I think that they need to take barriers away from that. I mean, barriers have actually crept up over the years, and I think currently with the recent changes in the horticultural ward, for casual workers, there's a minimum wage you've got to pay, which is fair enough, and piecework now has really become a thing of the past given the recent changes that have happened. So that's where pensioners perhaps could have slotted in.
A lot of people are worried about work cover and insurance, especially when they're older and struggle to get work insurance of any level, especially when you're looking at something that is a physically demanding job like fruit picking. What are some of the complications there?
It's never been an issue in the past. We've maintained insurance for decades, and that question's not asked. The person might have to, if they've got a previous existing injury, normal conditions apply. But no, we've never asked for an age test in regards to insurance. Look, as a matter of fact, older people make the best workers. We found that they're steady, they're stable, they know how to work because they've worked all their lives. They've been a great asset to our orchards. It's just a shame the tax system has changed now, and it's really pushed them out of the market.
Mm. If they don't have a camper or an RV, you know, some kind of caravan situation, what's the accommodation like for people? You know, you don't want to be in your 60s or 70s and go back to some dorm-like accommodation and sharing bathrooms.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, my assumption is that if they're retired, they've probably got a caravan or a camper van of some sort, and they're travelling around. They're the type of people that have picked in our orchards before. I just recently came back from Queensland. I saw a lot of caravans on the road, so there's obviously still a lot of people, you know, that are living like that and enjoying that lifestyle. That's what's worked for us. I don't think finding normal sort of picking accommodation would be suitable for old people, but they may be willing to have a crack at that.
Peter, one thing I wonder is, obviously you do need to teach people how to pick fruit. It's not just you grab the
idea that it's
orange or the apple.
Yeah. It actually takes a skill, yeah.
You do have to induct people a little bit. My worry is if we're looking at the grey nomad market, they're not going to want to spend long amounts of time in one location. Do you run the risk that you sort of have this really high turnover of people that's not ultimately sustainable?
Look, that's just something we manage. It's always been part of the workforce. It's actually a bit of a weird workforce, the harvest labour, because it's sort of short term at times. Different varieties come in and out of season. You know, temperature or weather events sometimes affect picking, but we just know how to manage that, and we know how to get people up to speed. If they're willing to work, the real issue is not about the skill level. It's about willingness to work. And whether, you know, what we do interests them. So it's never been an issue for us in the past. Again, I'll just come back to that taxation change that's occurred. And I think above 320 a fortnight for a couple or 180 for a single, they get taxed. It's just there's too many barriers there. And I would encourage governments to think about that. It's been a great workforce for us, having older people work in our orchards. Just another thing that's probably worth mentioning, it's not just harvest labour that we need. There's other jobs that, older people can do or pensioners can do. We drive equipment. A lot of pensioners used to drive equipment in their previous job. And so some of them just jump on a tractor and know how to use it because they've done it before, or even in trucks or forklifts if they've got a licence. So there's other jobs other than fruit picking that may be a bit easier on a person also.
Peter, thanks for your time.
No worries.
Good on you. Peter Hall is a fruit grower in Maroopna. I mean, your folks, Bron, are farmers and have been in farming for a long time. Is it always just that easy to jump back on a tractor, to get back out and do some of the other jobs that are associated within the agricultural sector?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, my mum and dad are in their mid to late 60s and early 70s now and still farming like crazy. Haven't slowed down. When I say haven't slowed down, though, I mean they're absolutely exhausted at the end of the day, and physically they're not where they were in their 30s and 40s. Of course they're not. So I absolutely see that, you know, people who are retirement age and beyond are totally capable of doing some of this work, but at what cost to their health and well-being, I wonder also.
And then when do you actually retire? That's the other thing too. You know, so if you go back and say, yes, we can do this or we can do that, at some point, don't you have to sit back and try and enjoy retirement, which may be easier said than done?
And listen to your body and not push yourself too hard, because that's not what we want either, is it? In a moment, we're going to talk to National Seniors about what changes we would need to see to something like the pension.
Anne's in West Footscray. Hi, Anne.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just want to talk about my experience. I'm a retired teacher, and I reached age pension age just over 2 years ago, so I'm 68. And I wanted something to do when the money's handy. I do Uber driving. It's been excellent. It's just excellent in Melbourne. It's the flexibility to do it when it suits you. Like, I don't drive at night. I drive 3 or 4 days a week for 5 or 6 hours, so I might be online 4.5 hours, and I get quite a lot out of money out of that, and it gets me anywhere around town. I don't know where I'm going, so I have a look around Melbourne, different suburbs, and you have to be a sole trader, so you have your own business, which, as far as Centrelink goes, they don't seem to mind you doing that, because I thought I had to check on my working credits with Centrelink, a friend said, but that's only for employees. But as a small business owner or sole trader,
it's different.
And all I have to do for Centrelink purposes is a profit and loss statement once a year.
And it would be so social. Yeah. Sorry, Richard. Yeah, no. It's so social what you're doing as well.
Yes. It's really about lifestyle. I mean,
yes,
whether you're retired or not, whatever age, you've got to have things that you enjoy and keep busy and whatever. And I've never been the sort to sit home and
And I wonder whether that's a lot to do with it as well, whether or not you're the type of person that thinks, well, you know what, I'm fit, I'm healthy, I'm going to be in that area anyhow. Maybe this is something that would work for you, you know, that it kind of depends on the sort of person that you are. So have you considered coming out of retirement, looking at the many gaps that can be filled in our job market, and how did it go and what would make you do it?
ABC Radio, Melbourne and Victoria.
This is the Conversation Hour. You know who you are. You're the generation who always turned up, who never turned away when you were needed, who picked fights for justice, picked your way through tough times, and picked up our kids. Now more than ever, Australia needs people like you to pick something else. Fruit.
And that's what we're talking about today, asking those retired people to come out of retirement and pick fruit. Is this something that you would consider? Rochelle Hunt with you in Melbourne. Bronwyn O'Shea's ABC Wodonga. Bron, this text that says, I'm an essential worker. I'm planning an early retirement due to burnout thanks to the pandemic. I can't think of anything worse than fruit picking in my 60s.
National Seniors is one organisation that thinks there is huge potential here in harnessing our older workforce, but it's going to require changing the pension rules, as so many people have pointed out so far, Rochelle, to really make it attractive and possible for older Australians to keep working. Ian Henschke from National Seniors Australia, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Yes, and it's lovely to talk to you and talk about this topic, because I don't know that you caught up with this, but late last week there was a bill put forward, a social services legislation amendment bill, to enhance pensioner and veteran workforce participation, and that was put forward by a senator from Western Australia. And also early in the week in the new parliament, one of the members in the lower house also put forward a motion, and that was that the government should look at this, and that was a motion put forward by the member for Mayo in South Australia. Yeah,
but
so
she's called this a win-win-win, that it's a win for pensioners, it's a win for their well-being, it's a win for fruit pickers, and it's a win for the taxation office. Is it really that simple?
It is that simple, because if you look at New Zealand, and they've been doing this forever, basically, because they have a pension over there, everyone gets the pension, and then you just pay income tax. It's very simple. Like that lady that was talking about before with Uber, once a year she just puts her tax return in, and she just gets whatever, you know, arrangements there. I didn't realise that about sole traders. But if you're a standard, average pensioner, either full or part pensioner, you're dealing with Centrelink, and it just drives them crazy, you know, because you're constantly reporting to Centrelink. And we did a meeting with Peter Dutton when he came to Adelaide about a month ago, and we introduced him to a lady called Heather, and she was a nurse working in dementia care. And she told him that she had to go down to Centrelink whenever she breached this cap of the $300 a fortnight, which she did regularly, and then had to report her earnings to Centrelink. And she said it made her feel, almost debased. She's got to stand outside the Centrelink office. She's got to go in there, deal with them, fill out the paperwork. Then they take 50 cents in the dollar off her pension, and then they tax her as well on top of that. And she just said to him, make it simple, make it fair, change the system. Now, I suppose this is why he's brought in this idea of doubling the pension work bonus to $600 a fortnight, but that still doesn't solve the problem, because you're still dealing with Centrelink. So we're saying to the new government, Jim Chalmers and Anthony Albanese, you've got 500,000 jobs vacancies in Australia, 500,000 job vacancies. You've got I think it's the figure, latest figure is 35,000 in aged care, 6,000 in childcare. You've got thousands in agriculture. So why don't you just free up the system, even if it's a COVID trial, just for 3 years, and say, let the pensioners work and pay income tax?
I saw comments from Treasurer Jim Chalmers saying, you know, sure, we're broadly supportive of the idea, but it's going to cost a lot of money. We need to actually work out what the cost is to government to make those changes to the pension rules.
Well, that's why I'm saying to any of your listeners out there now, we're going to get economic modelling done on this by one of the top economic firms in Australia, who originally did a report called the Grey Army Advances, and that's Deloitte Access Economics. And if they want to help us, then they can go to the National Seniors webpage and have a look at it, because it's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars to do this economic modelling. And then we're going to put that before the Jobs Summit. We are going to put it before the Senate inquiry into this, and we're going to put it before the round table that's going to be held by Amanda Richworth, because Deloitte Access Economics did a report back in 2012 for the Age Discrimination Commissioner, and they found that if you could increase the workforce of older Australians, it would be a net benefit to the community. So there's, in other words, you would increase the GDP of Australia by many billions of dollars, and it would... Now, you think about it. How can New Zealand run it? How can New Zealand run it and have a system like this, and we don't?
I just wonder, though, how many people actually want to come out of retirement? Surely there's a period of your life, Ian, where you think, I've worked my butt off my entire life. I've paid my taxes. It's now time for me to enjoy my life a little bit. At the same time, you know, I totally agree with you in that there are all these opportunities, right, and there's ageism is rife. There's also a lot of red tape. There's a taxi that says I'm a registered nurse looking at going back to help with COVID. But when I tried to do it, I found I had to pay for everything, from my police check, working with children's check, considerable cost in red tape. That would be great if there was funding available for those to pay when money is reclaimed through taxation. So all of the red tape around going in back into work and the costs associated as well. Is it not just that the pension needs to be raised so those that have worked their entire life don't have to go back to work in order to make ends meet?
This is not about have to go back to work. That's what Scott Morrison misrepresented the campaign in the run-up to the election. He said, oh, I don't want people to be forced back into work. The campaign is called Let Pensioners Work. That means we are saying if you want to work, let them work. It's not about forcing people back into the workforce. The adequacy of their pension is a separate issue. This is actually about dealing with the jobs crisis in Australia at the moment, 500,000 job vacancies. And it's not about just having to wait a bit longer down at the local shop to get a cup of coffee or worrying about some fruit falling on the ground. I mention again, there are 35,000 job direct care jobs going in aged care. We need people in all sorts of areas that are actually life and death issues. Getting back to your point about the workers, we surveyed National Seniors members in February this year, and 20% of them who were on a pension said that they were willing to go back into the workforce, and the reason they wanted to was because they wanted purpose in their life. And a lot of them actually said they needed the extra money. Now so we know there's a willing workforce there that is being held back by red tape. And Jim Chalmers and Anthony Albanese have an opportunity to change the system, even if it's only for 3 years. Just while a COVID crisis is on, their government could do this, and we are urging them to do it. Anyone who's listening there, they should go to our National Seniors webpage, have a look what they can do. We've got 15,000 signatures on our petition at the moment. So if you just take them alone, there's thousands. And most people say that about 2-4% of people sign a petition. So you could say that there's probably a couple of 100,000 people that would go back into the workforce, and they would willingly do it. And if you think about the people that are working, and how much they contribute at the moment. I mean, the chair of your organisation, the ABC, is Ita Buttrose. She turned 80 in February. She's still doing work. I mean, lots of people want to work.
Oh, 100%. Agree more. It's just that idea of if you're doing it only purely because you can't survive without doing it, that's when it starts to leave a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But Ian Henschke, it's always wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. It's from National Seniors Australia. This text, Bron, that says, my husband is 64, he's been knocked back from over 300 jobs. And another saying, no one's forcing these people back into work, Rochelle. And I agree with that to a certain degree, but then I do wonder sometimes where people think, well, I don't know if I can afford to retire and that I might take up some of these jobs when in actual fact I sort of wish that I wasn't, but I can't make ends meet. So it really depends on the individual circumstances, doesn't it?
And that text about being knocked back for work is interesting. In a moment we're going to talk about, well, it's all well and good to say come back to work or stay in the workforce when you're 65 and beyond, but have we tackled ageism in the workplace? Are we actually at a point where we're going to respect and value our older workers the way we should be? We're going to talk about that in a moment. But Chris has called from Clifton Hill, Rochelle. Chris, you used to be a fruit picker.
I'm nearly 80 years of age, and I pick fruit in Shepparton.
Yep.
It is a hard job. Yep. I just don't know where these people, where their heads at to expect a 60, 70, 80-year-old to climb up a ladder, carry fruit, and what about where do they live? You know, like I really do think some of these things have never been thought out. Sure, a man who lives in Ivanhoe said, I'd like to go and pick fruit, but I've got to go to the Golden Valley, or to Mildura, live in a humpy with all the other fruit pickers. I mean, this is ludicrous. The jobs have to be fit for purpose. When you walk into Bunnings or into Woolworths, you're not being served. Perfect spot. Mature people behind a register doing what they can. But it just defies all logic.
Chris, would you work if the job was right Are you interested in remaining in the workforce, say, into your 80s?
I am. I am gainfully employed because the R word is just, I don't know, I've got this spider about it, but no, there's no way I'm going to climb a ladder, but you should have people in the field interviewing, say, what have you done? If a guy or a woman have had a sedentary job and they are bookkeepers or whatever, there's no way they're going to go out and do these physical, I mean, it's hard enough. You can't get 18 to 25-year-olds to go and pick fruit. Why would you get...
Yeah. Well, it was interesting, wasn't it, to hear Peter Hall say some of their best workers are pensioners. You know, older people work hard, they have an ethic, they get in there and they get it done.
And it's all individual as well on your health and where you're at, but it is physical labour. And, you know, I often push back too at the idea that it's unskilled labour.
Likewise.
You know, there's a lot of skill that is required in fruit picking. It's a different skill level. But the idea of, anyone can do it, I'm not completely sure
don't
about
buy that.
That. Yeah, but I do like the idea, Bron, of if nothing else, at least we're starting to have a conversation now around respecting older Victorians in the workplace, ensuring that people do get those job interviews, that we do see them in positions if they want those jobs. So I wonder if, glass half full, because, you know, I don't always want to be the pessimistic one, that there is some good to come out of this.
Yes, if we are encouraging older Australians to return to work or remain at work for longer, are our workplaces the right environment at this stage? Are they still full of ageism? Will seniors get a fair go at work? Dr. Marlene Krasavitsky is co-chair and director of Every Age Counts, which is a campaign to tackle ageism against older Australians. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. This is such a great conversation. Thanks for enabling me to be involved.
Is there still ageism rife out there in Australian workplaces?
Look, I'm sad to say, yes, there is. Let me begin by defining ageism. So ageism against older people is stereotyping, discrimination and mistreatment based solely upon the date you were born. It's about how we think, act and feel about older people and getting older. And it comes from widespread social acceptance and really negative attitudes and beliefs about the value of older people, what they can do, what they bring, and this time of our lives. And so many reports and so many people tell us over and over again that older people are being discriminated against and that ageism is the number one barrier to older people getting into or staying in work. And it's all those stereotypes and assumptions about older workers that we have in our heads that lead us to make discriminatory decisions, like not hiring older people.
Has that changed now, though, Marlene, given that we're pretty much begging older people to come out of retirement in all sorts of professions, teaching, nursing, now fruit picking as well? So it's pretty varied. So surely we're going to think that maybe that ageism will start to fall away a little bit.
Well, I certainly hope so. I really do hope you're right. And it will vary across industries, and it varies with the labour market shortages that we currently have. But despite those labour market shortages, we find ourselves not being able to get past those ageist stereotypes and narrow expectations of older people in work. So I still think we have a very long way to go with tackling some of those assumptions, some of which have been discussed today in your program, that older people are just sort of wanting to go into retirement. They're stuck in their ways. They're still more prone to injury. Perhaps they won't want to report to a younger boss. I really do think it's time to bring all of those assumptions out into the open and challenge them and start to open up some opportunities for older people who do want to work. And not everybody does, but there are many that do.
Marlene, I know the older I get, the older my idea of what older is becomes as well. You've looked at, you know, what people see as being an older worker, or, you know, wanting to hire someone who's not older than a certain age. What are we talking about here? I mean, we've used the term 65 and beyond, but in reality, what do employers see as an older worker?
Really good question. And we tend not to put a number on it because it is very subjective and very variable. So generally, for most of us, being older tends to be about 15 years ahead of wherever we are. So if I'm 64, yeah, which I am, you know, for me, sort of well into their late, into late 70s would be older. If I'm 40, that might be in there somewhere in the mid 50s. But certainly the Australian Human Resources Institute did some work and found that there was an age above which many employers are reluctant to hire. And I'm talking half of employers. And that age was 50. Now, again, 50? That was very,
good grief.
50. See, this is the thing. And it gets variable, doesn't it, depending on your age of what an older worker is.
Mm. And also, yeah, I would think, depending on the job as well. Yeah. I mean, there are jobs. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Go. Just that if we're talking about older workers in this context over, you know, people who are eligible for a pension, so we're talking 65, 67, if that's the attitude of most employers, then if you're sort of in your mid-60s, your chances of getting a fair go at an interview or getting into work are pretty slim.
Mm. So how do we change that then, especially because, you know, the common theme throughout this conversation today has been if people are in their 70s, 80s and want to keep working, let's make it possible for them to do that. But what has to change in workplaces then to address that ageism?
I think there's lots of things that we can do, and we would certainly want to see a concerted sort of education and awareness campaign just to shine a light on what ageism looks like in the work cycles and in recruitment, and really starts to unpack ways in which to deal with it. We would certainly encourage employers to review their recruitment practices so that they don't knowingly or unknowingly discriminate on the basis of age. So often we'll see ads that contain these euphemisms for young, like go-getter or dynamic or up-and-coming or early career. And those words send a powerful signal to an older person that they really need not apply. So I would encourage employers to check their ageist assumptions, their practices. Mm. I would also encourage employers to create age-inclusive workplaces so that people don't feel that they have to hide their age. We've made great strides in many, many companies in diversity and inclusion strategies where we've focused on gender and racism and inclusion. But most omit age as a criterion of diversity. So if age is invisible, it's very, very difficult to have a conversation about how well we're doing.
And I mean, I wonder whether or not taking an age off a resume or off a CV, you know, off one of those boxes that you have to tick, I wonder if that's a part of it. And I'm just trying to think when the last time was that you had to tick one of those boxes, you know, between this and this and this. And it feels like it's becoming less and less common to ask someone their age. But you could be right in the sense of maybe all of the wording for the job insinuates that, well, this job is not for you. But I wonder whether that's ageism as well, because they're wanting someone younger and experienced and to pay them less.
And beyond the resume and the recruitment process, my concern, Marlene, is once you're in the workplace, what experience do you have?
Mm. Many older workers will tell us that they're kind of hanging on by their fingernails because they're concerned about losing their position and being able to find another one. Others feel devalued. They feel excluded. Because they are coming to a certain age, so there are all sorts of assumptions being made about them that they're just on their path to retirement, so they're being overlooked for learning and development or promotional opportunities. And all of those assumptions go on in people's heads at the expense of actually having a conversation with an older person about what their intentions are. So that's where it can become very, very difficult for an older person to stay in employment.
Mm. Just finally, Marlene, a lot of today's conversation started because there is a huge push from the Farmers Federation as well as the government to get older people out picking fruit. We've got a big shortage there. And I guess a lot of my thought process was, well, what if they really don't want to? They just want to enjoy their retirement. And yes, they might have campus and they're travelling, but, you know, why are we asking seniors to do this unless it's something that they want to do? Catherine in Thornbury has said, I'm so glad that you're talking about ages. So maybe Rochelle will realise how patronising her conversation has been. And I would hope that it would have been the opposite, actually, in the sense that I feel like we're kind of asking older people now to do something because we've let the system become broken, and now we're asking them to help out. And at what cost? You know, why can't you just enjoy your retirement? How do you feel about the idea of just keep asking older people to come out and fix a job shortage crisis that we have in multiple professions?
It's a really interesting thing, isn't it? Look, I think my response would be that there's no one-size-fits-all here. Not all older people are the same, and we've certainly heard that range in your callers this morning. But every research report that I read, and many people tell us, that there are many older people who want to work, and generally that our attitudes to retirement are changing. Good work has lots of social and personal benefits. Dignity, independence, a sense of purpose, contribution, social connectedness, all those good things. And the reality is that most of us are living longer, healthier lives, and our expectations of this part of our life are changing. Many people tell us that they don't think they'll ever retire. So I think we are needing to perhaps shift our thinking about what retirement means. And many of us not only want to work, but need to work longer. We're partnering or repartnering later in life, buying homes later, starting families later, continuing our education and changing career paths all through our life. So continuing to work is an important part of that equation and, of course, of our financial security. So it's not a one-size-fits-all picture here.
Mm. One thing we haven't touched on too much in this conversation has been at what cost to volunteering and caring for grandchildren, all the other things that people do as they get older that contributes to the economy in perhaps a more invisible way or a way that's not calculated to the same extent.
Marlene, thanks so much for your time. It's been really great speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
And I agree with that, Bron, and I guess that's where I guess I was kind of going into bat for older people to say, look, don't think we can just drop everything and come and pick fruit now because we have a rich life. Yes, we're in retirement, but our grandchildren are a very big part of our life, or our volunteering is a very big part of our life, or whatever it is that you choose to do in retirement. Don't undermine that and respect that as well. But if you want to go and work, work. But I just think it's not simple. It's not straightforward.
It will be interesting, won't it, now that we have bills before Parliament for consideration to see whether there are some changes to the pension and to the way that pensioners are taxed when they do go and get part-time work or want to do extra work from time to time. It'll be interesting to see if we do see some sweeping changes more akin to what we see in New Zealand.
And we're hearing time and time again that the pension is just not enough to live on. And with rising cost of living, you know, if people are choosing to go back just because the pension is not enough to live on, then that is a different conversation.
Correct.
Bronwyn O'Shea coming to you from ABC Wodonga as always. Thanks so much for today.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Speak to you tomorrow. Until then, be safe, be well, take care, and chat to you tomorrow.